السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي شديد. And when your Lord proclaimed, if you give thanks, I shall surely grant you increase. But if you are ungrateful, truly my punishment is severe. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على. A few days ago, my son had an appointment at the doctor, the hospital in LA. A small appointment. He's fine, alhamdulillah, sitting right here. And so it was my first time. We went to the hospital. It was my first time going to the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. A very big hospital. I don't know how many of you have seen the building. And so we arrived to the hospital, and this was before noon, around 10:30 in the morning. And by that time already, the parking lot of the hospital was almost full. It took us some time to actually find a parking spot. And then we took the elevator, we went up to the lobby, and I noticed that it was very busy. People were standing in a long line, waiting to check in. And then we checked in and we were directed to where we had to go. We went upstairs to the specific department that we had to see, and there we checked in and we waited in the waiting room. And as we were sitting in the waiting room, we noticed all of the children coming in. And we noticed all of the different types of disabilities and illnesses that these children had. And it was very heartbreaking. Very heartbreaking to see some of the challenges that some of these children, these young children, were facing. And as I was sitting there, I began to reflect. And I thought to myself, I realized how much we take for granted the blessing of health, this great blessing that God has given us. Not just the blessing of health, but how much we take for granted many of the other blessings that God has given us in our lives. We find often in our lives that we focus on those things that we consider to be negative. Oftentimes we find ourselves focusing on the negative things in our lives and complaining often about the things that we don't have, while forgetting to appreciate the things that we do have. They say one day a man came to a scholar, he approached the scholar, and he complained to him about his poverty, his lack of money. He told him, listen, I don't have a lot of money. I have very little money. And this is causing difficulties for me. So he was complaining to the scholar his lack of money, his lack of wealth. The scholar asked him, he said, how about, would you accept for you to lose your sight, to become blind, but instead be given $1 million. Man said, no, of course not. He said, okay, well, would you accept that you were to lose your ability to hear, but instead you would be given $1 million? Said, no, I wouldn't. He said, okay, would you accept that you were to lose your mind, to become mentally ill, but instead you would be given $1 million? Said, no, of course not. He said, would you accept that you were to lose your arms and your legs, but instead be given $2 million? The man said, no, of course, absolutely not. He told him, then why are you complaining when you have been blessed with blessings worth $5 million? Often we find ourselves, we focus on the negative, on what we don't have, forgetting to appreciate the things that we do have, the things that we have been blessed with. And it's very easy for us, brothers and sisters, to unconsciously and inadvertently slide into a state of ungratefulness. To slide in a state of ingratitude. And we find that the Quran tells us, it talks about this prevalency of ingratitude. The Quran says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. God says that those who are truly grateful, those who are truly thankful among God's servants are very small in number. They are few. Most of us, we end up expressing ingratitude. We are ungrateful for our blessings, knowingly or unknowingly, deliberately or inadvertently. On the other hand, when we come to the Quran, we find that the Quran, it commends God's prophets with the characteristic, with the attribute of gratitude, that they were thankful to God. This is one of the commendations that the Quran gives to some of the prophets. For example, in the case of Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam, God tells us, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That Abraham was a nation in and of himself. He was a nation, قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ. He was devout to God. حَنِيفًا, he was pure in his belief. وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He did not associate partners with God. And then God says, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. And he was grateful to God's bounties. He was grateful for God's blessings. This was one of Abraham's major characteristics, is that he was grateful. He expressed thanks and gratitude to God for God's blessings. When God describes Noah, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he says, ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. That Nuh was a thankful servant, عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. So God commends the prophets, and he describes them in the Quran, not just through their acts of worship, or through their patience, or through their charity, but especially through this feature, this attribute of gratitude, that they were thankful to God. They expressed gratitude to God. And we know that one of the spiritual objectives of the holy month of Ramadan, one of those objectives that animates this holy month, is the cultivation of gratitude and thankfulness in us. For example, when we come to this major act of worship, that of fasting, one of the purposes behind fasting is to help us cultivate empathy towards others. Right? When we become hungry and thirsty, and everyone becomes hungry or thirsty, it gets easier after a few days, but everyone at some point or another becomes hungry or thirsty during the daytime when we're fasting. This difficulty that we experience, this difficulty of hunger and thirst, it helps us to establish and to develop empathy in our hearts. That we remember that there are others around us, near and far, that are also hungry and thirsty. That have not been blessed. And for the vast majority of us, if not all of us, we know that that hunger and thirst, it ends after a specific point. Right? We've all memorized, during the month of Ramadan, we all memorized the exact time of Maghrib. It's that month which every person, ask any Muslim at any point throughout the day, what time is Maghrib? They'll tell you exactly what time is Maghrib. We know that at some point during the day, it ends. Khalas, the obligation to abstain from eating and drinking ends, and we begin to eat and drink, and mashallah, many of us, we overeat and overdrink. But for many others around the world, this fasting, this act of not being able to eat and drink, it is not an optional thing for them. And it is one that may continue throughout the day. Sometimes some people have very limited access to food and water and other blessings for extended periods of time. So when we feel hungry and thirsty, this helps us develop a sense of empathy. We realize that there are people who struggle in other parts of the world, in our own communities, in other places, people who struggle. And so we develop empathy. And this development of empathy in turn allows us to do what? It allows us to appreciate our blessings. It helps us appreciate our blessings. That we are grateful that we have food and drink, that we have food on the table, we have, you know, shelter, a roof over our heads, we have clothing, we have the things that we need in our lives. This is one of the themes of fasting, to allow us to develop empathy, and in turn, through that, to be appreciative of our blessings, of God's blessings and favors upon us. When we come to dua al-iftitah, perhaps the most important dua that we recite during the nights of the month of Ramadan, every night we recite dua al-iftitah, this beautiful dua. Dua al-iftitah is made up of two sections, two major sections. Half of the first half of the dua is dedicated to expressing gratitude and praise and thanks to Allah. The reason why it's called dua al-iftitah is because it begins with the phrase, Allahumma inni aftatihu thana'a bihamdik. Oh my Lord, I begin praise of you. Your praise with what? With expressing gratitude. Bihamdik. With expressing gratitude and thankfulness to you, oh my Lord. Allahumma inni aftatihu thana'a bihamdik. And we find that several sections of the dua, they begin with the phrase Alhamdulillah. Praise, glory be to God, thanks to God. It's an expression of gratitude to God, and through these sections, they express the multidimensional blessings of God upon us. The various kinds of blessings, because sometimes when we talk about God's favors upon us, immediately the first thing that comes to mind is the material blessings. The food, the water, the wealth, the health, these things. But there are many other great blessings of God upon us. One of which is mentioned in the dua, is God's compassion and mercy towards us. Alhamdulillah alladhi yujibuni hina unadih. وَيَسْتُرُ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ عَوْرَةٍ وَأَنَا أَعْصِيهِ. Thanks to my Lord who answers me when I call upon Him and who covers up my faults, my misdeeds, that God is most compassionate and most merciful to us. This is a great blessing. It's a great blessing for God to express His unlimited mercy and compassion upon us. And there are many other blessings that this beautiful dua, it expresses. It reminds us of the multidimensional favors of God upon us. And our teachings, they express the importance of developing gratitude, of being thankful at all times and in all places. And they tell us that there are several stages to gratitude. There are several levels that we can acquire, develop several stages of shukr, of gratitude that we develop. The first of which is the gratitude of the heart. Gratitude, thankfulness, in its essence, it is something that begins within us, like many other things. Sort of like piety. When we talk about piety or taqwa, first and foremost, before everything else, taqwa is a state of being. It's an inner state. It is something that begins first within, and then it is expressed outside, through our actions, through our deeds. Thankfulness, gratitude, first and foremost, it's a state of being within. It begins within us. And this is why we find that the ahadith, they tell us that the very first level, the basic level and stage of thankfulness is that we express thankfulness from within. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, مَنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِنِعْمَةٍ فَعَرَفَهَا بِقَلْبِهِ فَقَدْ أَدَّى شُكْرَهَا. When God bestows His favor upon His servant, and the servant recognizes, realizes this favor, acknowledges this favor in his heart, بِقَلْبِهِ, then the servant has done what? Has observed gratitude, has expressed gratitude to God. It's a state that begins within us. It's a state of mind and being. It is one in which we recognize that we are solely dependent on God for all of our affairs. State of this kind of recognition, that as God's servant, I am totally and completely dependent on God in all of my affairs. We recite in Dua al-Iftitah, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. Wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Praise be and thanks be to God who has guided us towards this. Towards this, towards faith, towards understanding, towards goodness. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada, wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. And we would not have arrived at guidance and goodness had it not been for God's guidance. This is why some of the ahadith, they tell us that this is found in the munajat of an Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He says, O my Lord, very beautiful words. He says, O my Lord, it is incumbent upon me to thank you when I thank you. When I express gratitude to you and I say, Alhamdulillah, I realize that you have blessed me, it is incumbent upon me then to express gratitude again, because you have guided me to express gratitude in the first place. You have allowed me to recognize your favor upon me, and as a result to express gratitude. And for this, I have to express gratitude to you. It's very beautiful. Because this is the gratitude that begins from within. It's a gratitude that encompasses us. It's a state of mind and a state of being. So we read, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada, wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah, alhamdulillah alladhi yakhluqu wa lam yukhlaq. Praise be to God, thanks to God who creates everything but is not created. Wa yarzuqu wa la yurzaq, and it is God who sustains and who gives but is not sustained. وَيُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ, it is God who feeds but is not fed. That this recognition that we are solely dependent on God for all of our affairs, all of our needs are dependent on God's grace, on God's providence. And this gratitude that we develop from within, from the heart, is very much related, brothers and sisters, to this idea of having contentment, al-qana'ah. That we are content and we are satisfied with our blessings, with what we have, especially when it comes to our material blessings and our material gains. And this requires a conscious effort, brothers and sisters. It's easy for us to say that we should be content, that we should be satisfied with what God has given us. But this contentment doesn't just fall from the sky. It requires a conscious effort on our part. We have to work actively to develop contentment. That means that, for example, if I am faced with the option of more material gains, right? I'm sitting down, I'm eating food, for example, and I'm eating my first plate. It requires a conscious effort for me after I've consumed this first plate to say, you know what? I don't need a second plate. I don't. I ate. Yes, I might not be stuffed to a point where I can't breathe, right? But I've eaten. I'm no longer hungry. I do not need the second plate of food. This is just an example, brothers and sisters, right? If I already have 10 pairs of shoes, it requires a conscious effort for me when I go to the store to say, no, I'm not going to buy that 11th pair of shoes. I don't need it. I don't. If I have 15 jerseys, I don't need more jerseys. It requires a conscious effort on my part to say no, to be content with what I have, not to fall into the trap of constantly wanting more and more and more. These are just simple examples that I gave, brothers and sisters. We can think of many other examples in different ways, in different aspects of our lives. It requires a conscious effort for me to stop overworking so that I can continue to make a greater profit. Yes, we have to work. We have to make ends meet. It's not up to us to sit down and expect that our sustenance falls from the sky. That doesn't happen. We have to go through our natural means and we work and we make an income. But there's a difference, brothers and sisters, between working to make ends meet and then becoming a workaholic to a point where I want to go above and beyond just to make a profit, more and more of a profit. Because it never ends. It does not end. The hadith is very beautiful. It's very, very clear on this. It says, if the son of Adam, meaning a human being, if the son of Adam has been given a valley of gold, he will still want a second valley of gold. It never ends. So being content and satisfied with our material lives, with our material gains, with our blessings, with God's favors upon us, this requires a conscious effort that I remind myself to be happy with what I have. That I remind myself there's a difference between needing something and wanting something. And this is not something that I only develop in myself, but I also have to cultivate in my family and my children. Many children today, you ask them the price of something, they can tell you, but not many of them know the value of something. And there's a difference between the knowing the price of something and knowing the value of something. And so, this sense of gratitude, it begins from within. It's a state of being, a state of mind, of being thankful to God, and being content with God's favors and blessings upon us. This is the first level. The second level is to translate this contentment, this happiness, this gratitude of the heart, to translate it into a verbal acknowledgement. The hadith says by Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says the best form or the most complete form of gratitude is when the person says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When we make a verbal acknowledgement, a profession of thanks and gratitude to God. And this is something that we can also develop in our lives. Oftentimes, you know, I tell people this all the time. When you meet someone, the very first thing that we do when we meet one another, when we see one another, is we ask how we are. How are you? And many times the answer is, I'm well, I'm good. Well, that's great. But add to this, I'm good, I'm well, alhamdulillah. I'm well, praise to God, thanks to God, I'm doing well. It's a verbal acknowledgement of our gratitude to God for being well. We are told that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi, that the Prophet would often express gratitude for everything. Everything, every circumstance, every instance, that he would profess gratitude. That when he would be gifted with a good blessing, a favor, he would say, Alhamdulillahi ala hadhihi ni'mah. Thanks to God. I express gratitude to God for this specific blessing. And that when he would face even difficulties, even when the Prophet would face a challenge, a difficulty, an illness, that he would still express thanks. He would say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Thanks to God in all states and for everything. Because it all comes from God. The bounties come from God. Because God is the owner and master of this universe. God possesses this universe and everything within. And thus, it is up to God, up to God's will, to give and to take. To give and to take. And we are the servants of God. And it is incumbent upon us to express gratitude to God in all affairs, during all times, in all circumstances. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And it's not only that we express gratitude to God, but also we are expected to express gratitude to God's creation. The famous hadith says, the one who does not express thanks to God's creation shall not, or has not expressed thanks to God, to the Creator. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرُ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَمْ يَشْكُرُ الْخَالِقِ. This is something that is important for us to cultivate. Oftentimes, we remind our children often to say please and thank you from a young age, right? It's important for us to teach them that if someone gives you something, if someone presents you with something, if someone lends you a helping hand or does something good for you, that you express gratitude to that person. But oftentimes we find ourselves forgetting, for whatever reason, we find ourselves forgetting to express gratitude to those around us, right? I forget to express gratitude to my spouse when she cooks me or he cooks for me a great meal. Sometimes I'm in a hurry, I eat, I get up and I leave. It's a small act, but it's an important act. He or she spent time and effort to prepare this meal. Express thanks to them. Or to your parents, or to your children, or to your friends, or to your strangers. Sometimes we find ourselves taking these things for granted. I just thought about this. It occurred to me tonight, right? When we were sitting down after prayer, we all sat down to have iftar. But there were several people who were running around the whole time. Sometimes we forget about them. We're so busy looking down in our plates that we would forget to look up and to see that there were some people who did not break their fast for half an hour after we did, because they were volunteering, they were giving their time, their effort, in order to distribute food, in order to ensure that everyone was eating. We have to express thanks to them. Of course, they do not expect thanks. They are, I am absolutely sure, they are doing this only for the pleasure of God. They do this only for God's satisfaction. They do not expect thanks or gratitude. But it is incumbent upon us to express gratitude. This is one example, brothers and sisters. One example. And so the second level, the second stage of gratitude is when we express gratitude through our tongues. And finally, the third stage is when we express gratitude through our deeds and our actions. We are encouraged and we are taught, brothers and sisters, to use God's blessings suitably, in a manner that is suitable. This means that we do not misuse our blessings. We do not use God's blessings upon us in a bad way, in an immoral way. If God has given you the blessing of wealth, use it correctly. If God has given you health, use it correctly. If God has given you the ability to speak, the ability to talk, the ability to do many other things, do not misuse this. Use it suitably. Use it wisely. Do not waste God's blessings upon you. A while ago, brothers and sisters, I was reading that here in the United States of America, that on average, on an annual basis, we Americans, we waste up to 60 million tons of food a year. 60 million tons of food are wasted every single year. That translates to approximately the value of this 60 million tons of food, is $160 billion. $160 billion worth of food is wasted every single year. We waste, brothers and sisters. This is a blessing of God. As I mentioned, God has blessed us. The article that I was reading, it says one of the reasons why, several reasons, but one of the reasons why we waste so much food is because food in the United States, compared to other parts of the world, is very cheap. And for those who have traveled outside the United States, you've noticed this, right? Go to Europe, for instance, and just compare the prices of food there and here. You'll notice that here it's much cheaper. This is a great blessing upon us, brothers and sisters. It is one that we should not misuse. Just because food is cheaper here, it's cheaper for me to go and to buy more food, doesn't mean that I should waste the food. A lot of times we find ourselves during the month of Ramadan, we end up wasting a lot of food. Right? We're hungry during the daytime, so when we're preparing the meal for iftar, our eyes are bigger than our stomachs. And so we end up preparing lots of different kinds of dishes, and we prepare a large amount of food, and sometimes, unfortunately, that food goes to waste. Some of us, we might keep some of the food for, you know, suhoor. But then after that, the vast majority, they want a new meal the next day. They don't want the same food that they had. And so what ends up happening is that the food gets wasted. Now, this is not to say not to cook different types of food, not to be generous. No, this is all great. But don't allow the food to waste. If you have cooked more, if you have prepared more food, don't throw the remaining food away. Give it to someone who's in need. Give it to someone who can use it, who can benefit from that food. Don't throw it away. There are many blessings that we take for granted, brothers and sisters. We are expected through our deeds, through our actions, not to misuse and not to waste God's favors upon us. And finally, that we should work and we should practice habitual gratitude, brothers and sisters. That we express through our acts, through our deeds, we express gratitude often. We should make it a habit in our lives. And we should cultivate this in our families and in our children to habitually express gratitude by helping others. By using God's favors and blessings upon us to help others. We should make it a habit to give sadaqah, to give charity on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. On a daily basis. Don't make it something that is only a once a year, or once a month thing, or once every, you know, so often. Make it a habit Teach yourself, teach your family, teach your children the importance of helping others. That if God has blessed me with a favor, that I should also help others. That I should use this blessing in a way that assists others who are less fortunate. Give sadaqah on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. Work on developing this habit of expressing gratitude on a monthly basis. There are many opportunities for us. Try to find a good organization that helps others. A good organization that is dedicated to reaching out to others and donate on a monthly basis, brothers and sisters. Do this. Even if it's a small amount. Even if it's a small amount. This small amount not only brings blessings to your rizq, to your sustenance, to your wealth, but it also teaches, it's an also practical way of expressing gratitude. There are many orphans, there are many widows, there are many people who are in need, locally, abroad, in different parts of the world. Help them, even if it's a small amount. How much do we spend every month on coffee? Many of us might spend, you know, in the dozens, maybe hundreds of dollars on coffee a month. Take a small portion of that. Small portion of that. And give it, express gratitude to God by helping others, by reaching out to others. This is the holy month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters. We are almost halfway through. And this is the month of blessings and month of God's mercy upon us. This is the month that we should work on expressing gratitude to Allah, to God, for all of God's favors upon us. We ask Allah the Almighty, the most merciful and compassionate, to accept our prayers, our deeds, our fasting, our supplication during these holy days and nights. We pray to Allah to bring relief and comfort to those who are sick, those who are ill, those who are suffering around the world. We pray to Allah to bestow His peace upon the souls of those who have passed away, and to help us become agents of positive change in our lives and in the lives of others. Finally, brothers and sisters, and as we are on this topic, again, like my dear brother Ali Muhammad mentioned, on Sunday evening, the day after tomorrow, Development and Relief Foundation, which is an organization some of you know, is dedicated to providing health care through the Imam Al-Hujjah Hospital in the city of Karbala, and through sponsoring orphans and taking care of the widow and the needy. They have their annual fundraising iftar here in Irvine on Sunday evening, and the tickets are there with Brother Ali Muhammad. This is a great opportunity, brothers and sisters. It's a great opportunity for us to help those who are in need, and the organization, alhamdulillah, is doing a lot of great work. If you want tickets, if you have not already purchased tickets, please see Brother Ali Muhammad. And if you'd like to, you know, you're not able to attend for one reason or another, you may also go on their website, drfcharity.org. You can donate online, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your a'mal and grant you the best of this world and the hereafter. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahli baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.